You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network.
You're listening to the Dog Bite Podcast, an unofficial podcast for Fresno State Athletics. The thoughts and opinions are that of the show host and in no way reflect the thoughts and opinions of the university. Today's episode is brought to you by DKO Digital, servicing all of your computer repair and website design needs. Help them help you. Welcome, everyone, to the Dog Bite Podcast, the podcast for Fresno State Athletics, powered by the fans, for the fans of Fresno State Athletics. And with me, as always, my right-hand man and co-host, Lorenzo Reyna from the Red Zone Frenzy.
Bringing up the muscles, right? Yeah, I was muted for like 1 second.
Yeah, that was an accident. I forgot to unmute your mic here when we got started. But
yeah, you know what? It might have been a good thing. I might have said something out of line. But it's all right, though, because I will say this. New uniforms, new QB, new football field. All this actually means another new year for the Dog Bite Podcast. Year number 3, right?
And a new name for the Humanitarian Bowl.
Yeah, what's up with that?
it's been a while since we've been on, but you know there is a reason why. Like we mentioned before on our last episode, the Dog Bite Podcast has joined the Lifestyle Pod Network, and we are happy to be a part of the family. And you know, then what means is a brand new partnership, brand new website. Look for it in a couple of days; it'll be up and running shortly. And basically, you know, it's an all-around good partnership.
You know what we also haven't done in a while?
What's that?
You singing Idaho.
Idaho.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. There it is.
Yeah, we're excited to get things going again. And, you know, it's if you haven't done so already, go check out the Lifestyle Pod Network. It is it's a great website. There's a bunch of different podcasts they host on that website. They do one for anime. They do one for they call the sci-fi lounge. I think it's actually pretty good. They do their own take on some of these sci-fi movies, and it's fun to watch.
They seem pretty creative. The sci-fi lounge, though, we should have like the Dog Bite Podcast Lounge.
I think it's the sci-fi lounge. I'll have to look up
a different name.
Yeah, I'll have to look up the actual name to it. But you know, it's. It's a good thing. Go ahead and check them out. And then also check out for our website here in the next couple of days. But also, if you don't know already, our sister podcast, we just launched it last week. It is the Friday Night Football Podcast, covering high school football in the central section of California. So if you haven't done so already, head over to fnfpodcast.com. Check out the website. We've got some stories. We've got, you know, we've got video footage. We've got our first audio episode all on the website. Check it out, fnfpodcast.com.
And a little FYI, too, immediately following the Dog Bite Podcast, the conclusion of it, we'll be immediately doing the FNF podcast as well.
So they will be simultaneously released pretty much at the same time. That's if I can get both websites working at the same time.
But yeah, cross your fingers.
But it should be up and running here very shortly. And if you're listening to this already, then it is running. So
it's running. It's healthy.
Now, one thing I'll have to mention is that for those of you who are listening via iTunes, if you haven't, what's going to be happening in the next few episodes is that that link in iTunes is going to be changing. In fact, the link that's in iTunes now is actually going to be cut off after a few episodes. You'll have to go back and resubscribe to the new link at iTunes, which will have our new Dog Bite Podcast logo on it and everything. But don't worry about it right now. It'll probably, by next episode, I'll tell you to go ahead and go over and resubscribe.
Yeah, he'll keep you in the loop. So
just keep an eye out for that change, and we hope you enjoy everything that's going on so far. But with that being said, let's go ahead and kick off our show.
Yeah, you want to kick it off with potatoes?
Potatoes. It was Idaho potatoes.
It's funny. I had some crisp fries from Carl's Jr., so I'm in the mood for potatoes.
Now, coming across the Twitter feed today, I picked up a link showing that the Humanitarian Bowl for the WAC has changed its name. It's no longer the Humanitarian Bowl. It'll have a new sponsor and a new name. It is now going to be called the Idaho Potato Bowl.
Why can't it be IdahoPotatoes.com Bowl? It could be one of those .coms, like Insight.com, GoDaddy.com.
You know, I don't get it. Why don't they just keep it the Humanitarian Bowl sponsored by Idaho Potatoes? But no, they're calling it the famous Idaho Potato Bowl.
Well, let me ask you this. Did Udrove drop the sponsorship? Because Udrove was the people behind Humanitarian.
Yeah, Udrove is no longer their sponsorship, so they... Idaho Potato wanted to take it over, and they wanted to change the Humanitarian to the Idaho Potato Bowl.
So what's the trophy? Spud?
You never know. It's going to be a big old spud on some kind of a baked potato or something.
Or like French fries or a gift certificate to...
Oh, man. Who knows what it's going to be?
I mean, I have more respect for the New Mexico Bowl now than I do for the Idaho Potato Bowl.
That's a lot coming from you.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, man.
I mean, it's like, first we had the bootleg MTV logo for the Mountain West Conference. Now we have the Idaho Potato Bowl. I mean, you have to wonder what they're going to do next.
Well, and that is not the only breaking news coming out of Idaho, Boise, Idaho. The other news coming out of Boise, Idaho is, if you haven't heard about it yet, Boise State, when Boise State had left the WAC to join the Mountain West, somehow they agreed to one stipulation that the Mountain West was asking for, and that was that they would no longer be able to wear their blue uniforms on the blue turf at home anymore. That means they will have to wear a different color when they're playing their home games on the blue turf.
It's almost as if before going into this club, the dress code is strictly enforced. I mean, instead of an all blue everything party, do you have to go like, I don't know, blue, orange, or orange, orange, or white, blue?
Now, they did this because coaches were complaining that on their film, it was hard for them to notice the Boise State players in blue with the blue uniform. It was hard for them to kind of pick up the players. Not so much on game day, on the field and stuff, even though some of the people say that it's still hard to see them. You know, I really don't think it's a big deal because, you know, if you go back to the last time Fresno State went to Boise Stadium, we got trounced 52-0, and they were wearing orange.
Yeah, they were Syracuse for one day.
So you can't really use that excuse. So,
I have heard stories from a Fresno State cameraman who he asked some of the players in the past about whether or not they can actually see the players on that blue field. And they've actually have told them, well, they blend in so perfectly. The uniforms, the pants, and they even have blue socks. They blend in so perfectly. So,
well, I heard a story. I don't know if they showed a highlight of it before or not, but of a play where one of the players actually laid down on the blue turf when they were lining up. And when the play started, jumped back up to his feet and took off running deep for a pass. I don't know if that's true, but there's rumblings about that being done. I don't know.
It's a trick play. I mean, I'm sure high schools do it. And here's the other issue that I have. You have a green field. Most football fields are green. Oregon is all green. Michigan State can go all green. Colorado State goes all green. But yet, I don't see anybody complaining.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean. The only difference is it's a blue field and it makes things a little different. There are teams that have their green uniforms that match the green field. So, you know, quit complaining, people, really.
Honestly, it's like if Boise State can put like 50 to 60 points in all blue on a blue turf, that means they can see each other real well.
Now, I will agree with one thing. It is horrible to watch a blue field on HD on TV.
Yeah, I can't.
After a while, your eyes get used to it. But it still looks horrible on TV.
I don't know which one's harder to look at, that or Lady Gaga. Seriously.
Equally bad, man, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I don't know which one's harder on the eyes.
Now, another one of the stories coming out, we're moving this one back into Fresno. Just of late, Fresno State has had rumblings of new uniforms to go with the new field that's being installed. We'll get to the new field in a second, but first, the new uniforms, there's been speculation of all kinds of different things, none of which have been confirmed because Pat Hill's not talking and the university's not talking.
They keep a tight lip on certain things. I mean, when Steve Cleveland happened, they kept a tight lip. And it's one of, I think what it is that they're trying to intrigue their fans. It's sort of like a ploy to get fans into Bulldog Stadium. Now, maybe they'll announce, oh, they're going to wear these new uniforms. Or maybe, like, against Ole Miss, they're going to bust out their new uniform. Or senior night, they're going to bust out their new uniforms. We don't know. But, I mean, there's been a lot of hearsay. There is some images that did show up that kind of I guess it gives you an idea of what they could look like. I mean, one of them was actually an all black one with red that I actually liked a lot.
That is one of the biggest speculations, that there might be some black in some of the uniforms. But problem is, none of that has been confirmed. Now I did listen to an interview that Pat Hill did recently, and here's what we know so far about the uniforms. One, there is a rumor of the helmet, part of the helmet's been going to be changed. The logo's going to be the same. There's nothing wrong with the logo. Now, Fresno State has chosen to go with the new Nike Pro Combat uniforms and helmets. One of the changes that kind of leaked out by accident was that the Fresno State Bulldog helmet is going to have a stripe right down the middle of the helmet. And that color is basically going to be blue. From a confirmation, I don't know if you can confirm this, though, as being true. When Fresno State put out some T-shirts against Cal, they put out a T-shirt with both universities' helmets on it. And one of the helmets was Fresno State, had a blue stripe down the middle of the helmet. Now, which led to believe that the helmet was going to be changed with a blue stripe down the middle, that it was kind of a big oops on the helmet.
That's not our fault. That either is the Bulldog Shop's fault or whoever created those shirts.
Now, when Pat Hill was asked about that, he said that people are just going to have to come out to the Cal game to find out. So basically, he pretty much said yes.
Yeah. And that means we don't have to travel 3 hours because we already know.
Yeah. And so, one of the other rumors was an all-black uniform. Now, this is one that Pat Hill basically, he's pretty much denied on his interview. Which, who knows? Maybe they do have an all-black uniform. Nobody really knows, but Pat Hill is leaning more towards no. So, but from the images we saw, it looks good.
I like it, actually.
Now, another thing we do know, the names are going to return to the backs of the jerseys. That is one that has been confirmed.
I also heard a rumor that, I think it was the red one, it's going to have Fresno State on it. I mean, it goes back to the early 90s when they had that.
Trent Dilfer.
Yeah, the Trent Dilfer days.
Yeah, that is another one that I've heard of also. Yeah. Now, I'm trying to think of... we also do know that the jerseys and everything are going to be more tight-fitting, which is good news because it'll keep all the pads in place where they need to be.
Another thing too is that when you're running and somebody tries to grab cloth, I mean,
they can't grab it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the whole reason behind it. They are tinkering with the idea of changing the pant colors, for like home and away. Cause I know at home right now we're wearing the red pants, and then on away we're white, all white. There has been talks of maybe that kind of changing. So we're not sure what's going to happen with that. But that's all we know. They are not letting anything else out of the bag.
Now, their practices start tomorrow, so I don't know if they're going to actually wear these uniforms during practice, but I doubt it.
No, but isn't media day on Friday?
Yes.
I wonder if maybe they're going to sneak out the uniforms on media day.
Maybe they might do like a little showroom kind of things. Like,
well, because when they asked Pat Hill if they were going to do something to announce the uniforms, yeah. Pat Hill pretty much said... you know, they're going to come out on game day. But he said, if the university wants to do a fashion show, that's up to them. So.
Well, you never know, because Washington State, they did a fashion show. I'm sure other schools like Boise State, I'm sure they've done a ton.
Yeah. So
they're Nike's new darling.
And that's the latest thing. Every time somebody gets a new uniform, everyone's doing these fashion shows to show it off with players and stuff.
But it's not with Victoria's Secret's models, right? It's with football players.
It's really not Pat Hill's style, so I don't see it happening.
I don't see Pat Hill strutting down the runway and like no.
That'd be a sad sight to see. Yeah. But no, I think that's something that I don't think it's going to happen, but there is a possibility they might bring him out on Media Day. And if that happens, are you going to be attending Media Day?
More than likely.
If that happens, make sure you take a video camera or a digital camera.
If I have one.
If you have a digital camera or maybe one on your phone or something, take a picture of it.
Or I could hijack somebody and ask their permission. I don't know. I have to figure something out.
Yeah,
if it does come true.
Yeah, if you have somebody there that can send you some photos, send it to us and we'll post it on the website.
Or you know what? You could follow your Twitter feed. I'm sure there's going to be photos posted.
Yeah, well, if you don't do so already, follow us on Twitter because we retweet any kind of information that we find that is interesting to anyone, including breaking news of photographs. I mean, we can have that too.
All right, FYI, I'm getting a little bit better about Twitter. I mean, it's sort of like committing to a new girlfriend.
And,
so, yeah.
And you hated it at first, and you're starting to like it now.
I couldn't figure it out.
You're starting to like it now, aren't you?
A little bit. I understand it now. I understand how important it is.
You can get all your latest information there without even having to turn on the news. I'm telling you. In fact, you actually get news quicker.
Yeah.
So...
Plus, Facebook got boring for me.
With that being said, we're going to move on to the other story of something new at Fresno State, and that is the field turf. The field turf has been put in. There's a few minor touches being put in right now. What they worked on this week was the actual Bulldog logo at the middle of the field, and it looks nice. I mean, I saw photographs of it.
There's also one of the end zones has the checker marks.
Yeah, and so they need to do the other end zone and actually put in the other logos that they're required to put
in. Yeah, the WAC logo just for this year. Next year is the MTV logo.
From what I hear, the WAC logo this year is going to be painted on, not sewn in. It's going to be painted on to where they can take it off.
Yeah.
And then next year, they'll go ahead and make a they have the Mountain West logo that they'll sew in to the field also. So it looks pretty sharp. I mean, at least it'll look nice on TV, if anything.
It will. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's like gone will be the days of trying to figure out where the 10-yard line is.
Or any yard line, you know, especially down the middle.
You know, the other thing, too, is that the end zone, sometimes I felt like there was like a bloodbath that ensued because like some of the red paint was just splattered.
Oh, and the fact that... You get later into the season and the middle of the field has nothing on it. I mean, it's just, it's like a pitcher's mound that it's they like, said right down the middle of the field.
It's dirt. I mean, Gophers have a field day. It's like.
The best part now is the field is level. It is no longer have that mountain right down the middle and it kind of drains to the sides. It doesn't do that anymore. It's now completely flat and it's a very fast field. And exactly, it's going to play to our wide receiver strengths this year.
Yeah, you know, we announced it last week on the Friday Night Football podcast about how Porterville was installing sprint turf and how like schools like Central and Reedley, they have sprint turf. Similar. It's similar in case you've been wondering. It's a sprint turf. It's an all-weather surface. That means if it rains, it's not going to affect the paint at all.
Yeah, and that's one thing that Pat Hill's been pushing for the last few years is a field that they could practice on even on rainy days. And this is going to be it. And in fact, it's not just going to be for football. All the sports that need a field are going to be using this whenever they can.
Yeah, lacrosse, girls soccer. And I think what did it, it had to take a duck pond to form. That way we finally realized how bad we needed it.
They saw how bad it was this past year with all the crazy rain that we've been getting lately.
Yeah.
Well, not lately, but in this beginning
through
of this year.
Spring, yeah.
We had rain in times that we actually should not be getting rain. And that practice field was under at least 4 feet of water. And it just made it impossible to practice on.
Yeah, ducks were there. I mean, I could have gone fishing.
Take out your little rowboat on top of the water.
Like a little rowboat and try to find like goldfish. And
oh, man. And it's just...
Or just get fish from Walmart.
Yeah, it took that to them for them to realize that they really need to push to get a field turf installed. And through donations and sponsorships, They were able to raise the, I believe it was $1.3 million to install the filter.
Something around that.
Yeah, which kind of makes me wonder how come, if Porterville's getting the same thing, how come it only costs like about $600,000 for them?
Or what other thing is that Central had one, Porterville was getting one. I mean, all these high schools had Sprint Turf, but yet we never...
I wonder if it's all the custom images that they're putting in the Fresno State that probably is raising the price.
Maybe.
Eh, it could be it. Who knows? Moving on. Okay, the other new item for Fresno State, of course, this year no longer have Ryan Colburn. It is now Derek Carr's team to drive. And you know what? He's the real deal. He is the real deal, and he's looking to have a good season this year.
One of the reasons why I wanted to bring him up is there's just so much hype for Derek Carr. He hasn't even played a down, and it got me wondering if there's ever been an athlete at Fresno State, not just for football, but in any sport, where there was somebody with not only the scrutiny but the hype. I mean, I don't know if you could think of anybody, can you?
Would
you say Kevin Sweeney, maybe?
Yeah, it was back to those days. Yeah, but here at Fresno State, they're recently they're already crowning the heir apparent Derek Carr as the most hyped player ever.
He has to be. I mean,
Ryan Matthews was hyped out of high school, and he wasn't as hyped as Derek is right now, but he turned out to be a very good player.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Matthews, he wasn't like real heavy. I mean, he wasn't getting like all the attention. I mean,
he did open up eyes his freshman year though, when rushing the ball. So
I don't even think David Carr had this hype
No, he didn't. Although a lot of people were pushing for David.
I will say this though, back in 2003, I had some people, and I mean, the thing with Derek is that he's getting all this hype because of his famous surname. But yet, I will say this. To those of you who have not seen Derek Carr actually perform, actually practice, you have this opportunity tomorrow, Thursday. I mean, you'd be blown away by this kid's work ethic. I mean, I can't tell you that he's going to be the greatest Fresno State will ever have. I will say this, though. He has the work ethic. He's on his way.
Yes, he is. We've had chances to see him practice and stuff, and he... I believe he's the real deal. Now, the other issue, though, with that being said, he can only do so much. He's going to need time to throw the ball, and I really don't have any confidence in our offensive line right now.
When you look at it, that line is really the weakest link of this football team.
That's the one area that I'm so worried about, because if they can't pull it together, Cal is going to be running right up the middle at Derek Carr. And that it could be a long day for Derek.
I mean, granted, yes, this unit did have injuries, but overall, they were just very, very inconsistent. I mean, the pass blocking wasn't great. They had trouble running the football. And there's some stout defensive lines that they're going to be going against. Boise State, Cal, they have a massive line. Hawaii has a massive line. Nebraska and Ole Miss, they got a lot of speed. So, I mean, this line's going to get tested early. And they need to come through like right away.
Yeah.
Because I mean, to me, Fresno State's fortunes, they don't really rest on the shoulders of Derek Carr. I feel like it's more the offensive line. It's more the offensive line that has to gel together and make everything click.
Fresno State's only going to go as far as the offensive line allows them right now. If they can gel and bring it together in the beginning of the season, they're going to have a great season. But if they don't, it's going to be a long one.
Because let's be real, there is plenty of weapons on this football team, especially at wide receiver. So I already know that Derek Carr has plenty to work with. And then there's also Lucio's favorite running back.
Mighty Mouse Rouse.
Yeah. And he also has Milton Knox.
We've got a stable of running backs this year. There's always going to be somebody that we can plug in. Last year, we were hampered by injuries all year long.
Yeah.
So
AJ Ellis is healthy too. So
we'll see what comes out of it this year. And all of our wide receivers, watch out, man. We've got some burners on it this year.
Plus with Carr there, I mean, you don't want to go into a schoolyard fight with Derek Carr's weapons. They might harm you. So.
Well, now this year they're talking about the offense, kind of switching gears and going more towards a pass offense. So don't be surprised if we air it out a lot more this year.
I think the way it's being like said is Fresno State kind of feels like they have a quarterback who can actually throw it downfield and can actually have zip, can zip it downfield. We haven't seen that in a while, not since David Carr.
Yeah. So, and there is a little healthy competition going on between Derek and his brother. I remember last fall at the fall scrimmage, David actually looking at his brother and saying, "Look, see my name up there?" He goes, "I want to see you do better." So
there is this story. I think Derek told CBS 47. I don't know if you ever saw this, but this was a while back. Derek said that if he scores his first rushing touchdown, you know that billboard where it has on the field where it has David Carr holding the football?
Yeah.
Derek actually wants to run over there, throw the football at his brother. That's his way of saying I was the better mobile quarterback.
We'll see what happens with that.
Now, if that does happen, that might be a 15-yard penalty. Hill will go ballistic.
That is another one of the stories that I almost forgot that I wanted to mention today. There is a new rule out this year for excessive celebration. Now, the new rule is stating now that if a player starts to taunt or have an excessive celebration while going into the end zone, they will give you a 15-yard penalty from the spot of the foul and take the points off the board. Literally taking, and I believe it's also a loss of down.
Okay, you know what? If this existed in the late 80s, early 90s, the University of Miami would be 0-12 every year. They would have not have won some national championships.
Now, if this is a rule that's very important because they've been trying to crack down on these celebrations and stuff, and they never could figure out a way to do it. Well, I think they might have found a way because if they start celebrating on the way into the end zone and get a penalty 15 yards back, from that spot, plus a loss of down, yeah, your coach is not going to be too happy with you. So there's going to be a lot of people just going into the end zone, dropping the ball, heading over to the sidelines, then celebrating. So
yeah, this is like Chad Ochocinco's worst nightmare come true.
So it is something that is it's going to be different this year. And I'm gonna see if I can get all the details on it, and I'll put up an article later on this week.
You know, it's like, I like end zone celebrations. I won't lie. It does bring fun to the game, but at the same time, it's like you don't want to like cross the line.
Exactly. And there's been times where it's been ridiculous where these guys are running down the field and all of a sudden there's no one 15 yards near them and they do a big old swan dive into the end zone.
Or a few years ago, Georgia and Florida, after Georgia scored their first touchdown, the whole entire team just got together in the end zone and started jumping up and down. I don't know if you remember that.
And doing a dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Things are going to be a little interesting this year. So I'm kind of anxious to see what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, those are our stories we had for today. We're kind of short today. We didn't have really much, but we wanted to get our voices back on the air.
Yeah, not only that, we have to get geared up for the Friday Night Football podcast in a little bit. So
yeah, so we're going to go ahead and start wrapping things up here tonight. We hope you check us out. Go to the Dog Bite Podcast. Take a look. If you're not a fan on the Facebook page, why don't you head over there and do that too? Become a follower on Twitter. You will not be disappointed. We're getting as much information as we can over to you. And with that being said, also check out Friday Night Football. It covers the high school football in the central section of California. And you'll be surprised to hear all the information we got, not only on our show, but also the information we're putting out on the website itself. So when you get a chance, check that out.
Sounds good.
Now,
I think somebody might be here.
Yeah, might be our other host for a Friday Night Football podcast. So we're going to go ahead and start wrapping things up. So again, everyone, I hope you enjoyed the show. And join us again next week as we start breaking down some more of the season. We'll get some more stuff
going.
Well,
more than likely, we'll have a coverage of the fall camp, since it'll be wrapping up in this first week.
And yeah, and practice starts this week. So we'll go ahead and get a lot of that information out to you as it becomes available to us. So again, I hope you enjoyed the show, and enjoy your week, and we'll see you next time.
You can find more great podcasts at lifestylepodnetwork.com.au.